Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and today's conversation is with Chris Marston. Chris is the Chief of Staff in the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Well, Chris, you started talking about this a little bit, and I'm more curious now. What are the major elements of the nation's drug control strategy?
Well, the President released the first National Drug Control Strategy of his administration last February, and it highlights four themes. Three of them are substantive, and the last is actually about budget and performance integration. But the first three themes, the substantive ones, healing America's drug users, it's a focus on treatment and how we can help people who are dependent or abusers now reclaim their lives and get back from addiction. The second is stopping use before it starts, our prevention efforts aimed at folks who have not started using drugs to help them understand what a bad course it is and to keep them from doing it. And then finally, disrupting the market, which is our focus on supply reduction, where we do our best to take the marketplace that is the drug trade. It operates like a lot of other markets. There's illicit components that make it somewhat different, but in many ways, a drug cartel is like a Fortune 500 company. And so what we try and do is what people are afraid the government will do to legitimate business all the time, regulate it out of business. So we do our best to identify vulnerabilities in the market and then go after those vulnerabilities to disrupt it. So if we see that communications or the transportation network is one of the key pieces that's helping a drug operation do its business, we go after that. We try and take the most significant drug organizations and go after them. So we're trying to change the way we do drug enforcement by taking this market-based approach. In the past, everybody's kind of done what they always do. You know, they have an identified target and identified activity of what they usually do. The State Department, you know, sprays crops in source areas. The DEA arrests drug dealers in the United States, and they of course have some international efforts as well. You know, the Coast Guard stops boats with drugs on them. What we've tried to do is sort of integrate the efforts of all these agencies into one effort to disrupt the market. So whether that's through picking the most significant organizations and taking them down like we did with the Cali Cartel in 1990, but on a broader scale so we don't wind up with the many cartel aftermath like we did in the 90s, or whether it's taking one specific sector of the drug market and wiping it out to reduce the profits available to drug dealers and hopefully shrink their business in that way.
Well, in thinking about the management challenges of what you just described, the charges are broad and you interact with a lot of other departments. How do you go about working the coordination and getting everybody to work together?
It's a real challenge. The government's a really big place, as we all know, and getting everybody on the same team can often be a challenge. And there are tensions in it. There's all the folks we deal with, particularly at the cabinet level, have myriad responsibilities. You know, the Secretary of State worries about a lot of things. Drug control is just one of them, and he has an entire foreign policy to maintain. So there are days when he can't worry about drug policy or when drug policy aims might interfere with some other foreign policy aim like trade. The same thing is true in other departments. The Department of Justice, you know, corporate fraud has been very important. Counterterrorism is obviously very important, but we still have the drug control responsibility. So one of the first steps is finding the right place to coordinate within the department. The director, of course, deals with other members of the president's cabinet, but at a staff level, we kind of have to pick the right organization within each cabinet department to work with. So the DEA is an obvious example. At state, there's an International Narcotics and Law Enforcement Office. At the Veterans Administration, the Veterans Health Service is where we need to interact, but they don't have a specific drug office. At HHS, it's the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. So you just kind of have to pick out the right places and establish links with the right people. And it can sometimes be difficult because we're all part of the president's team, and he has a very strong emphasis on working together, teamwork, and collaboration. It's not to suppress any differences in the administration or to interfere with good policymaking. You can't just go to war with HHS because you disagree with them about treatment. That's not how this administration works, nor should it. So we have to work really closely with the other departments and agencies at a bunch of different levels, and that can be a real challenge. If the folks at SAMHSA, who are several layers down from the secretary, you know, have one way of thinking, it's a lot easier for them to go to the secretary than it is for us, because we're, you know, departments away. At the same time, if you agree with the folks in a bureau at a department, but someone on the secretary's staff disagrees, you know, are you ganging up on a secretary by going with one of his bureaus instead of his advisor? So that can be a real challenge for us. I think we've done a really good job in trying to overcome it. The director has established really good working relationships with the other members of the cabinet, and at a staff level, we try very hard to keep open lines of communication with their bureaus.
Well, I was going to ask, when you talk about overcoming, it sounds like it's a communication issue as to how you overcome it. I mean, how much time do you spend communicating, and how long does this all this process take?
Well, our success is measured in large part by how much time we dedicate to that. So we put a lot of time into working with the other departments and agencies, except for the four programs that we actually administer ourselves. And actually, even in some of those, we can't do anything. We can only work with other people to get something done. It's well and good to announce a national drug control strategy. Implementing it is not something that can happen in our office. It's something that the rest of government has to do. There are over $3 billion a year in federal treatment spending. We don't control any of it directly. It's all over at HHS or the Veterans Administration. So we have to work with them on how it's delivered. We can have a great policy idea, but if we can't sell it to another bureau, it's not going to do anybody any good.
In your examples in the previous question, you mentioned primarily federal agencies, but you also work with a lot of state and local organizations. I'm curious about how those relationships work.
We do, and where there's a commitment at a state or local level to really do something about the drug problem, Baltimore's a really good example. Mayor O'Malley in Baltimore is very committed to stopping drug abuse. He's seen what happened in a city where his predecessor as mayor had a very liberal drug policy and just didn't enforce drug laws. He just didn't have the police do that. So at a time when the rest of the United States was growing, Baltimore had net disincentive. They didn't build any new office buildings. There were whole parts of the city that were really just lawless, where drug use was just rampant and transactions on every corner were not uncommon. Mayor O'Malley has said enough and tried to take his city back. And so there, we go up there and visit fairly frequently. We take folks from other departments and agencies, and we try and help them to organize their efforts in Baltimore. In New Mexico, former Governor Johnson had a very different approach to drug policy than we do. He thought that drugs should be legalized. So it was very difficult to make a lot of progress in New Mexico with a governor who thinks directly the opposite of what you do. So it varies very much from one place to the next as to how closely we can work together. Again, there, communication is really the key. We try and identify the right players in cities and states who are interested in change and want to do something about the drug problem and work to support them any way we can. One of the specific things we're working on, because the drug budget is so broad, we have grant programs at several different departments or agencies, and they all go through separate streams, sometimes through different state agencies, before they come back and get together again in a city. And if a city really wants to manage well and do things right, they've already got a handle on getting that money back together into an integrated program. But many cities, it's hard to do that. I mean, they have their own city health department and police department that are separate, and they deal with different state agencies that deal with different federal agencies. So it can be a real challenge to try and bring the integration that we try to at the federal level, at the state and local level. So that's a real challenge that we're working to overcome, both by working in cities. The director's actually sent us out to the 25 largest cities in America to try and work with each one to address their problems specifically, and then also at the federal level by trying to get the folks who make the grants together to make it as easy as possible to bring things back together and be more flexible on the local level.
How does ONDCP measure the success of the drug control strategy initiatives?
Well, we had developed in the last administration something called the Performance Measures of Effectiveness. It was the endowment has a paper on it, and it praises the system, and I think the system deserved praise. It was the implementation that we had some problems with. It was a very good system of measures, but there was a point at which it didn't get tied back to the budget. So, and there wasn't as much interagency cooperation at the leadership level in putting it together. So there was a lot of resistance in departments and agencies to being bound to that system. So what the director did is start over. He said, look, there's one central aim. It's to reduce drug use in America. So that's the centerpiece, to reduce it by 10% in 2 years and 25% in 5 years. And now we're building the structure to support that because we can't afford to wait 5 years to see if the whole thing worked. We need to, something a little better than that. So what we've tried to do is take those goals and then develop a few measures in each policy area, the treatment prevention and market disruption, that sort of give us a general sense of policy. And then we link those to the Government Performance and Results Act, or GPRA, targets that each of the programs have set for themselves. And that way it's linked more closely into the budget, and the bureaus that come up with their own GIPR measures don't feel like there's some system from outside being imposed on them. It's something that they're collaborating and making. Of course, we now pay a lot more attention to the GIPR plans that agencies put together, which we didn't always do in the past. So that can generate some conflict in the budget process too. But that's the system we're trying to build for accountability. We want to take what's already there that Congress has put in place through the Results Act and link that up to our more strategic goal at the top level.
I'm not knowledgeable about drug control issues, but I am curious in terms of the benchmark about reducing consumption by 10% or usage by 10%. In terms of sort of a lot or a little, is that a radical change, a normal change? How much is that?
It's consistent with the best performance we've had in the past. Drug use from 1979 to 1991 was cut in half. So if you take, you know, that's, I guess that's 12 years. So by saying, you know, 5 years, 25%, mm-hmm. it's close to something that's been performed in the past. But the director's a big believer in setting, you know, goals for transformative change. If we don't set an aggressive target, we're not going to get there. So there are 1 year changes and 2 year changes in the past where it's been, you know, 10% or 5%, which would be on a course for 25 over 5 years. So we think it's something that's doable, and we're aiming to get there.
Great. It's time for a break. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue talking about management with Chris Marston of ONDCP. This is the Business of Government Hour.